Welcome to the Arts Council of Greater Baton Rouge's radio show, AC23. The mission of the Arts Council of Greater Baton Rouge is to foster the creative capacity in the Capital Region through advocacy, resources, teaching, and training. Over the next 23 minutes, you'll hear from staff members, artists, and arts organizations throughout our region. If you'd like to hear this episode again, you can find it online at www.artsbr.org.
To welcome our AC23 Plus listeners and viewers to another session. I'm Mike Asnault, Director of Arts and Education here at the Arts Council of Greater Baton Rouge. And today I have a long time friend, because we go quite a ways back.
Quite a ways back.
Mr. David Henson. Welcome, David.
Thank you. It's great to be here, Mike.
Well, I've known you quite a while, and I've watched you do so many things in music in our community. That really mean a lot, you know. Not only education's a big part of that, because I also later got reconnected with you as teachers, colleagues in the East Baton Rouge school system, primarily working in the Gifted and Talented program. However, you were teaching prior to that, teaching strings, right, and mm-hmm. more regular music.
Teaching orchestra.
Yeah.
Doing string programs.
Well, let's get into that in a minute, but I want to start at the beginning, Dave. So tell the listeners, where are you from, and how, I'm always curious about the formative years, like how someone gets interested in music or the arts, and there's always tends to be some key player, some key mentor, or something that really helps steer that person along. So what was that for you?
So my family was kind of musical. My mom and dad loved to sing together, mm-hmm. and my mother played the piano. They were always rehearsing choir music for church, you mm-hmm. know, so I would hear the bass part and the alto part with mom playing both of those parts on the piano mm-hmm. for my parents to sing. So that was part of it, just kind of being around music practice. I've come to realize how important that was in my upbringing. So mm-hmm. Both my sisters played the piano, practiced the piano, and my younger sister, she's older than me, but the younger of the two, mm-hmm. Melinda, played the guitar and was always practicing the guitar and tuning the guitar.
Down. Right.
So I was always around that kind of activity, and it just seemed natural. And I would be surprised when I'd go to other friends' houses, and they weren't doing the same thing.
Right.
You know. Right. So that was a big part. We grew up in North Baton Rouge in the North Highlands neighborhood around Plank and Evangeline. A lot of great music talent from up in that neighborhood too, mm-hmm. that are local. We'll talk about that in a minute too.
Yeah.
So I lived there and began to pick up just kind of an interest in music. Our neighborhood had a few different people that had bands of their own in the neighborhood. So I would hear I would hear music coming from houses as I'd ride my bike around the neighborhood. So it gave me a real interest in getting involved with play in music. Like that
right.
just fascinated me that you could do that, mm-hmm. you know, get an instrument, get some people together, start a band. And that just blew my mind.
So it really, with many people that I've talked to, it's not until they get to school where that starts, their exposure to music happens. But it kind of happened before or earlier for you, right? Just in the house.
Yeah, in the house. There were just so many casual things that were going on. My dad played the baritone ukulele, which I picked up later on. He showed me my first chords. And even before I began to play it, I was always kind of like holding it, pretending to play it.
Right.
You know, and I had a tennis racket that I would air guitar everything on, you know.
Guilty, I used to do that too.
And I have... I have really, as an educator, I've really come to see that as valuable experience for a kid, for a young person, because you never play any wrong notes.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
You learn all these rhythms. You're able to kind of take in the music and enjoy the music without being committed to remembering how to play it, you know? So as a kid, you just get to, like, play your rhythms, pretend to play, get into the music, learn, listen. I think it's just really, whenever I see young kids doing that, I try to like give them a little extra dap, like keep doing that.
I've never thought about that until now. Like the idea of like playing air guitar or something like that with something in your hands.
Yes.
Because yeah, you aren't producing any sound, but you are kind of getting into the groove, if you will, of the physicality a little bit of playing an instrument.
Absolutely.
Feeling it. You
know. And I can remember playing, doing this, and I would play the most important events of the song. So
you're hearing structure.
Yeah. So I'm hearing, you know, when it was the guitar solo, I was playing the guitar part. When it was the drum break, I'm playing the drum break. When it's the keyboard break, I'm playing the keyboard break.
Right.
So you learn this little order and form scope and scale and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
That's cool. Well, so let's move forward then. You, I'm assuming at some point in school you got involved with a music program of
yeah.
some sort.
Yeah. Fifth grade, I kind of started with the string teacher.
Okay.
At North Highlands Elementary, and I played the violin for a couple of years. And like a lot of kids, I didn't read. I didn't learn how to read then.
Mm-hmm.
I had a hard time settling down to learn how to read and,
right.
and all the lines and everything, and dots, kind of gave me a hard time. But it was easy for me because I was listening to my neighbors and playing what they were playing. So I was never detected, you know,
under the radar.
That I wasn't reading. And I did that in the sixth grade. And then I, on the last day of sixth grade, I remember that I was finally allowed to take home a bass for the summer because I was looking for a change. You know, I realized, like, I'm in the back of the violin section, you know. I don't seem to be doing much back here. I want to do something else. I want to do something more fun, you know.
Right.
So I was a tall kid, and so my teacher said, man, you need to play the bass. I need bass players. So I took a bass home for the summer. The last day of sixth grade, I called my dad. The buses had already gone home, and here I am in the parking lot with a bass. You know.
It's not just you; it's a bass.
No, it's me and the bass. So that began that summer. My parents got me some private lessons, and I started studying with a series of different teachers that are all notable Baton Rouge people.
Yeah.
So I started taking bass lessons then, I got a chance to go back and learn to read all over again on a new instrument after I'd already had the experience of kind of trying and failing on another instrument.
Right.
But I was ready for it then. I was more ready for it.
Was it something about the resonance of the bass, low frequencies or something that just resonated with you?
Yeah, for
Did
sure.
Did you know at that point?
I thought it was a great. I couldn't believe how cool it was. I mean, just the size of it. It was just an enormous. How ridiculous is this instrument? It's just enormous. Who carries these things around? But my sister had kind of turned me on to the idea of the, and my dad directed my attention to what bass players do. They always thought it was kind of cool. Like, listen to that bass player down there doing, you know. And my dad would sing the part to the song that he heard the bass player doing. And that taught me a lot, too, that you could isolate with your hearing. You could listen to a single instrument and isolate it and kind of learn about it.
Right.
So, yeah, my sister and my dad both kind of prepared me for that.
Is it also fair to say that you were being exposed to lots of different types of music?
Oh, for sure. For sure. Being the youngest of four, I got to hear all of my siblings.
Oh, everything they're into.
Yeah, all the stuff that they're into. And they're all into different stuff because they're all different ages.
Right.
You know, we were talking about funky music and Gary Wright and Our Love Is Alive and all this kind of stuff.
I love that tune.
I remember my older sister, Karen, had won a record off of like WFMF.
Yeah.
Back in the day. And she had won that record. Mm. And as I remember it, we went and got that record and it was around the house. And I remember listening to that, just thinking like, man, that is some funky space music.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. But yeah, so there was her. My brother was more into like Earth, Wind, and Fire, but he also turned me on to George Benson and Willie Nelson.
Yeah.
So he had he showed me like, oh, you can have a wide range of interests, you know, musical interests. You know, my sister was the guitar player, so she would take me to band practice every now and again, or take me to a guitar shop, you know, and do that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of what I was really well positioned at that point to do what I did next. Just learning some instruments, beginning to learn how to play the bass, learning how to interact with my teachers better, learn what the bass player is supposed to do, have a good time, have good ideas, know what everybody else is doing.
Right.
You know. So that was kind of my early experience that attached me to the band.
Cafeteria blues.
That's right.
Well, I'm thinking of like the smell of those those bread buns that would
those
come
buns,
out.
Those buns, yeah.
That's the official smell of a school cafeteria.
Cafeteria, yeah.
Well, I'd like to talk to you about, you know, your experiences with education, and you've dealt a lot with a wide range of ages with students, and the times that I've worked with you over the years, it's been primarily high school, some middle school, but you've also spent a lot of time with younger kids. Mm-hmm. What have your experiences have been with that, and especially the younger kids, and the joys and pains of doing that?
You know, I always tell people that I just teach the same things. Mm-hmm. You know, and when you're working with music, it's really wonderful in that way that with music, we're always just trying to take the next step, you know? And so every musical kid is at a different place. And if you can help them take that next step, you know, then that's really everyone appreciates that. They appreciate it. Mm. You're getting something out of it. You're getting some movement. You're able to start a direction for a young person, you know. And it can be, because a lot of my students come to me and they're very accomplished. Mm-hmm. You know, they're very good players. But they can't do everything, you know.
There's always something that needs to be worked.
There's always something, and there's always something that's really important. Mm-hmm. That would really make their musical life in the future much richer if they could improvise, compose, do these things to meet whatever musical moment is waiting for you in the future. Mm-hmm. You know, so in that regard, teaching young people, elementary, middle, or high school kids, it's all the same thing. Or adults, mm-hmm. you know, it's always the same. Music is so wonderful that way.
It's
you know, it's got a space for everybody,
mm-hmm.
and it really loves improvement.
Right.
You know, and I'm slowly improving in my life. I feel like, you know, just over time, it's such a long process. Well, I always find it a personal challenge. Like I've got a group of kids that are in elementary school, and they're all really good piano players.
Mm-hmm.
And we try to use the elements of their practice as a creative tool. You know, so if I feel like if as a music teacher, teaching advanced kids, if you can teach them a creative process where they can then begin to digest and break down all of the technical and the theoretical and you know, the feelings involved, too. Because they're playing with great feeling, you mm-hmm. know. But if they can use these things to then create some new music or begin to appreciate people that do create, like jazz players, the way that they approach the instrument. You know, this is one of the things that I feel like I'm responsible for, is taking these kids who have this very generous gift of ability,
mm-hmm.
and turning their direction into something that they may be avoiding because they think it's too hard or it's not available to them. A lot of these kids that if they can turn that corner, bring that talent into their adult life and continue to play.
Right.
Then I think that would have been such a, that would be such a great outcome.
Absolutely.
I want to express to the listeners and viewers, you know, one of the things I've always appreciated about you in particular is you've always been so open-minded musically, and consequently so very good at so many genres of music. And I've always valued that in any player. Like, you know, there you have those who really specialize in a thing, and that's kind of, you know, that's the path they go down.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, to let the listeners and viewers know, I mean, you have a classical background. You're very at home playing blues, jazz, folk music, rock. I mean, I could just go down the list of genres, and you're not scared of any of them. I mean, you embrace it all. Gypsy music.
We
play together sometimes with Patrick Bourdon, our mutual friend. But that's just a great quality, I think. And it, not only that, but it, thinking on a more macro scale, like, it just really helps the community. You know.
Well, I think that result of like being able to play these different kinds of music is directly related to being in Baton Rouge.
Mm.
Baton Rouge is a little isolated.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
But because it is kind of a closed set in a way, different pockets of interest develop, you know? Like,
mm-hmm.
you've got a blues scene here.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a musician, you should know about the blues scene. You should participate in the blues scene.
Right,
you should
right.
be, people should know who you are.
Yeah.
You know, that you could walk in and pick up an instrument on any stage with these guys, and, you know, within a certain amount of, you know, some rules, I guess, but you should be welcome up there.
Right.
because you're a frequent participant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the rock and roll thing. You know, you should know the rock and rollers.
Right.
You know, the jazz guys. And that's always been a goal. I always wanted to participate in as many of the local genres
mm-hmm.
that I could find, because I knew that everybody was making music. Everybody was musical, and I wanted to make sure that I could be musical with whoever I met in Baton Rouge.
Right. And I've always, and I know you probably most certainly feel the same way, but when you do play other styles of music and you play with other musicians, you inevitably learn, but it also brings more back to whatever other genre you're jumping back to, you know, just having different perspectives, different ways of hearing, you know.
Different ways of hearing, and I loved the way that switching genres gives you a break mm-hmm. from your previous mindset,
right.
And that when you return to your jazz thing, you've now been informed by your rock gig,
right? Right.
And you hit it with a different kind mm-hmm. of spin. You kind of right. hit it. It all comes out a little bit differently, you know. And I love mm-hmm. that. You know, you pick up certain things with orchestra music. You learn about dynamics, and that makes such a great complement to what you would do in a jazz scene, you know.
Right.
You learn about quiet dynamics.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, I went to go see a show at Cindy Wonderful's Wonderground, which is a venue back on Laurel Street, kind of a art space
mm-hmm.
for creative people.
Yeah.
And there was a concert there. It was heavy music. It was like there was a band traveling from Virginia,
mm-hmm.
and they had a couple of local openers there. And that's such a great tradition to have a couple of local bands support a touring band mm-hmm. that's coming.
Well, before we launch into it, I want to thank you again for being part of this.
Thanks for having me. This is really
you're
fun.
Such an old dear friend, and always love playing with music with you,
yeah.
hanging with you,
yeah.
learning from you. And
good times.
Again, thanks, man.
Thank you.
That's all the time we have for today. Thanks for tuning in. And if you want to hear this episode again, you can find it on our website, artsbr.org, and click on AC23. We'll see you next time.